Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Howbeit, from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them. Ah, reoccurring theme in Kings there, Jonathan. He followed God, but not with 100% of his heart. You know what? I only know one man that did. Jesus Christ. 100%. God doesn't ask for 100%. That is your goal every day. But it's impossible living in this flesh that's polluted by sin. Christ came unpolluted. The only way he was able to do it. So this king here will be recorded as following after God, even though followed after God, but from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them. He didn't quite get everything out of the kingdom and his life. Did not depart not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. He rid the countryside mostly of Baal, but he's recorded as one of the better ones. God doesn't ask for perfection. He asks for a willing heart. You know, sometimes the task is more than you can do. As long as your heart is willing, that's what you'll be judged by one day. The Lord said unto Jehu, because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. What is that? Mm-hmm. Blessings from the Almighty, even though it just said he didn't complete the job. Because thou hast done well, and your heart is following after me, I'll cover you for the parts you didn't quite do correctly or enough. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all his heart. So after his time of great following, he enters a period of not following God. How many times do you enter that, Christian? I go in and out of it. I'm an honest man. I go in and out of it with a zeal. Everything or nothing, follow God. And then everything or nothing, not following God. But the heart is always in there saying, no, get it back. Oh, it takes so long to get it back. It's so hard to get it. No, it's not. Your flesh is going to tell you it's hard to get back in the saddle with God. It's a momentary thing. It can happen overnight. For he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. In those days, the Lord began to cut Israel short. That means he began to bring calamity upon it. And Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel. And you thought that meant that they was shortening the skirts on the Hebrew women, didn't it? No. Began to cut them short, cause calamity. From Jordan eastward, all of the land of Gilead, the Gadites and Reubenites, Manassites and Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did, and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. Jehoaz, his son, reigned in his stead. And the time that Jehoaz reigned over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. Chapter 11, book of 2 Kings. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahijah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Wow. Killed all the rest of the babies. All the rest of the children of the royal seed. Jehozabad, the daughter of the king Joram, sister of Ahijah, took Joash, the son of Ahijah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. They hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. My son can't be king, no one else will be either. And he was in her, and he was with her hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land instead of her son. And the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and fetched the rulers over hundreds with the captains and the guards and brought them to him into the house of the Lord and made a covenant with them and took an oath of them in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. And he commanded them, saying, "This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you that enter in on the Sabbath shall even be keepers of the watch of the king's house. A third part shall be at the gate of Shur. A third part at the gate behind the guard. So shall ye keep the watch of the house, that it not be broken down. Two parts of all you that go forth on the Sabbath, even they shall keep the watch on the house of the Lord about the king. Ye shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapon in his hand. And he that cometh within the ranges, let him be slain. Be ye with the king as he goeth out and as he cometh in. You guard this child like nothing else, even on the Sabbath." And the captains over the hundreds did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest commanded. They took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath, with them that should go out on the Sabbath, and came to Jehoiada the priest. And to the captains over hundreds did the priest give King David's spear and shields that were in the temple of the Lord. And the guard stood every man with his weapon in his hand round about the king, from the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar in the temple. And he brought forth the king's son and put the crown upon him, gave him the testimony that they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, "God save the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. When she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" But Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds and officers of the host, said unto them, "Have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her kill with the sword. Get her out of here, and anyone that follows her kill her." But the priest had said, "Let her not be slain in the house of the Lord." And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way by the which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. And Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people, between the king also and the people. And all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down, his altars and his images, break they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Mattah, priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. They just wiped out most of these guys, the last chapter. This is a cancer, a rapidly growing cancer. It's like the cancers we have in our country. Woke is an unbelievable cancer to America. Wipe it out tomorrow, it comes right back. Who would have ever thought would come a time in the United States of America when men and women could not tell you the definition of a woman? But in the annals of Congress, I've seen hearings. Democrats sitting up there wanting to be appointed to offices. "Can you, sir, tell me the definition of a woman?" I mean, that's as easy as opening a dictionary up, you know? Female of the species human. Able to reproduce. Well, it's kind of a gray area, you know, exactly what a woman is. And, Yeah, you can. You got your women and you got your men. And then, you know, the Dodge Charger is one of my favorite cars. Mm-hmm. And that's the one I like to drive most often, you know? Can't answer the question. Because their minds are so polluted with woke. A disease, a cancer. It's nothing new. Baal in another form. Call it what you want.
To some people, that guy Baal's name is actually Satan.
Satan. Baal, yeah, mm-hmm. by many names.
Mm-hmm. Just saying. And yes. There's actually accounts and stories of him living in Palestine amongst the people and stuff, which would be another day. But.
Yeah. And he took the rulers over hundreds and the captains and the guards and all the people of the land, and they brought down the king from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guard to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. That in itself is a tragedy. Israel is so far removed from God just to keep the bloodline that God promised on the throne. You have to anoint a seven-year-old. Because evil rules in the land. All the rest of his brethren were wiped out by evil because they wanted the power of the throne. Chapter 12, Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba. Now that's Judah. The first slaughter of the Baal that we see in the last chapter was the northern kingdom of Israel. Baal has slipped himself into Judah also. Because the last king had rid Judah of Baal. It's a cancer. Even if it's in the next kingdom over, it will slither in. Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Good for him. But the high places were not taken away. There you go. But. You follow God, but. And this reminds me of the third chapter of Revelation, third and fourth. There are seven churches. And if you look between the lines, those also equate to seven types of people. Seven types of believers. One who's not a type of believer. One who's on the fence. So five types of believers. One on the fence, one who's not. And Jesus Christ starts those letters to the churches, which was applicable to the churches at that time. And is also a statement of types of persons within the body of Christ and the world. He starts every letter with, I know you. What does that mean? You follow after me. I know your works. I know how strongly you follow after me. And then he says, but you have this deficiency or that deficiency. But you know what is the underlying overwhelming factor? He says, I know you. Because on one of them, he says, he doesn't. God doesn't ask for 100%. He wants 100%, but he knows it's not possible. When you get up in the morning, your goal should be to give 100% of your heart to God. Because if you do that, the flesh will follow. And when you end up with 72%, you know what? You had a pretty good day. Wake up tomorrow and shoot for 73%. Because as long as your heart is following after God, everything's fine. So when you wake up in the 50s and the 40s and the 30%, then you know you're in a bad place. And as long as your heart is still in there crying out, this is not right, Dave, don't be doing this stuff. And I've had a bad couple of 2 or 3 years. Thank God that season's over. And Joash did which was right in the sight of the Lord. All his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. That means he almost followed God with all his heart, but wasn't strong enough to do the whole job. Yeah. See lots of people like that. People still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passes the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. So all the offerings and all of the tidings that come into the temple, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. God and the temple had been abandoned for years and years. The house, apparently, the roof is leaking. The plaster is peeling. The gardens are all grown up. All of the fountains and the little pools are all grown over with green and moss. He says, get this place cleaned up. He cleaned his life up. He cleaned the nation up. Now let's clean God's temple up. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. Oh! And what have we said over and over about the Levites?
23 years to do it, too.
Yes, the Levites were corrupted from the day they took over in their offices. And we're going to see what happens later because of that. But just to go one step further, God and the law had been so neglected that coming up here shortly, they're going to find the ancient book of the law that was under a pile of whatever in the corner of the temple, totally forgotten about. The last thing Moses said before he died, I write you this little Cliff Notes book of remembrance so that you will never forget. Put it everywhere. Print up thousands of copies and just lay them on the coffee table. Hang one on the wall. Carry one in your pocket so you will never forget. They forgot all about God. Then King Joash called Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money for your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. Now the Levites at this time, there is no presence of God in the temple. It's just religion. And the fact that they go through some of their religious customs. Back when, had you not done it properly, fire from heaven might come down and engulf you. There's no presence of God anymore there. It's just become something we do. Do we even do it today? No, probably not today. We go in there, they have barbecues out on the back deck of the temple. It's nothing of God going on there. It's just the fact that, yeah, the sign's still up there, Temple of God. And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. What'd they do with all the money?
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of a story I seen in the news a couple weeks ago. Buddhist monks, they take this vow of poverty and abstinence from sex. Well, this woman over in Thailand has recently been arrested for extorting 9 of the Buddhist monks in one of the metropolitan areas out of the same temple. She apparently had videos of her having sex with all of them, and she was extorting them because they didn't want to not be a Buddhist monk anymore. That's a great privilege.
Mm-hmm.
You're looked up to. You are the holy man. But the biggest part of the story is not the fact that the Buddhist monks were having sex with the prostitute. It's the fact that they paid her over $9 million over 10 years to keep it quiet. Where does that kind of money come from to a priest?
Staying in a vow of poverty.
Yes, that vow of poverty. Yes. And the Levites are doing the same thing. That money was an offering to God. Mm-hmm. How dare you take it and use it? And the priest consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. All right, don't give us any money, and we're just going to leave the house just like it is. But Jehoiada, the priest, took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it and set it aside beside the altar. On the right side, as one cometh into the house of the Lord, and the priest that keep the door, put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. All right, time to put a lockbox in there. Can't just put it in the offering plate anymore because it doesn't get into the bank. Lockbox. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up, and they put it in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord. They counted it. They gave the money being told under the hands of them that did the work. So they cut out the priests. Priests were not trustworthy enough to take the money and give it to the contractors.
What's wrong with that?
Yes. It took government officials to do it. That's really messed up. Because you can't trust our government officials with a dollar in any way, shape, or form. That they had oversight of the house of the Lord. And they laid it out to the carpenters and the builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. And to masons, the hewers of stone, and to buy timber and to hew stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord. And for all that was laid out, the house of the Lord to repair it. Howbeit, they were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, snuffers, basins, trumpets, even vessels of gold, or vessels of silver, of the money that was brought in the house of the Lord. What happened to the ones that were there already? Melted down and made into golden images. Once they're made into an image of Baal, the gold has to be destroyed. But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen. For they dealt faithfully. They didn't watch the men who they gave the money to give to the workmen. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priests. And Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Joash, king of Judah, took all the hallowed things that Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, and Ahijah, his father's kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own hallowed things, and all the gold that was found in the treasury of the house of the Lord, and in the king's house, and sent it to Hazael, king of Syria. And he went away from Jerusalem. Okay. This is unbelievable. Jehoash, king of Judah, he's got a Hazael, king of Syria, coming up against him for battle. What do we do in the past, Jonathan? Go to God.
Yeah, go to God first.
Go to the Lord. What? And get guidance. What does he do? He loots God's house, takes all the expensive golden bowls and spoons and silver ornaments, and pays the king of Syria to go away. Absolutely no faith. There is no God in Israel that they know of. He's still hovering around the place. The king of Judah doesn't know it. The rest of the acts of Joash, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And his servants arose and made a conspiracy and slew Joash and the house of Milo, which goeth down to Celia. With Jochar, the son of Shemith, and Jozabad, the son of Shomer, his servants smote him, and he died. And they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Amaziah, his son, reigned in his stead. So, we pay for our sins in this life. Been with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, understanding the Bible, having a little serious conversation in the book of Kings today. It's all about the heart. It's all about following God. It's all about getting up in the morning and saying, I'm going to give God all that I have today. The end of the day when you only gave him 84%. Feel good about it. And go to bed and wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to do a little better than I did yesterday. Because that's all he asks. The bar is set by Christ at 100%. He knows we can't do it. Willing heart is all that's required to get you over the line. Because if you come up with 85% one day, Christ adds 15% to it, as long as your heart is on him. We'll see you next time on Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.